You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 378. Today we've got to talk about the Combine, and we've got to talk about Scott Pagano. He had his visit over the weekend a little earlier than at first expected. Spring practice is about to start, which is exciting. There's a press conference coming up, and there might be a few other things as well. But Randall's joining me, so Randall, it's good to be back in the same room again.
Yeah, and there's more Notre Dame football to talk about.
And I guess we should get this out of the way right away. March Madness is coming up close. We started or reactivated the bracket challenge we had last year, and the winner will get the shirt. The 17 Notre Dame, the shirt, and that usually comes out right about the same time, getting close to the same time as when, a little bit after spring, or a little bit after March Madness is done, but close enough that that's usually something we tie together. So if you win the March Madness Challenge, and the group name, if you haven't joined before, is Irish Sports Talk with spaces between the words, and I did put it on Facebook and on Twitter as well, so you can click on the link there. It's still a few days until you can submit an entry, but the rules are set up like they should be, with one entry per person. And I don't even know why this was an option, but I guess you can lock or unlock the groups, which means even after the games start, you can still swap out your different entries between different groups.
It would be kind of nice.
No, I don't.
I usually fill out multiple entries, but yeah, I agree. I'm sure, I guess there's actually rankings as far as where your group ranks as far as, compared to other groups. So you could make it look a lot better than what it is.
Maybe.
But yeah, definitely join. Tell all your friends about it. It's always a fun time. Last year, the winner was Justin Boudreau, which is actually Parker Boudreau's dad. So you should be able, I think we have it all set up now, so that if you were part of it last year, you should just be able to join it again, the same link. But yeah, get your friends, family to join, and let's have a good time. You can join and enter, put in an entry now, and it'll remind you next Sunday when you can actually fill out a bracket. So get your entry in now, and you can set up a reminder for when you can actually make those picks.
Because once it starts, you can't get in. Okay. Scott Pagano ended up visiting Notre Dame this past weekend. He was going to do it a few weeks from now, and that got pushed up. And he also dropped Texas from the list of schools that he was going to visit or that he was interested in. So definitely a good sign for Notre Dame. But there's still quite a few schools on his list that he is interested in, so I don't take this by any means that, oh, we're sitting really, really good. There's a 50-50 chance that Notre Dame will land him. It's still probably a long shot, but it's looking better than it did.
Well, the surprising thing is that he hadn't planned to visit until the end of March. I believe it was March 24th, somewhere around that time, and he moved it up. All of a sudden, he was coming to Notre Dame this last weekend. And he ended up staying, I think he got there on Friday and was there until Sunday. So he spent the weekend there, got a chance to sit down with Brian Kelly, look at film, how they're going to use him. And he got a chance to hang out with the other players as well and pick their brains, see what they think of Notre Dame. And I don't know what that means as far as moving up his visit a couple weeks earlier than expected.
He's been very closed-mouthed too as far as which way he's leaning, because I know some of the media have reached out to him and tried to get a feel for it, and he's being very close-lipped. He did tell Matt Freeman after the visit, he said, "Great visit, go Irish, that's all I'm saying."
Yeah. And he did cancel his visit to Texas, which is one of the schools, but he still has Arkansas, Oklahoma, and Oregon right there, and it's his coach, or Dabo Sweeney, had made known that he might want to play out west, closer to home. So not sure what that actually means, because he's visiting these other schools that aren't out west. So he does have visits planned for these other schools, and they're all like at the end of March, 1st of April, but who knows, maybe we can move those up as well, because you know, he's got a couple extra weekends between now and then. So obviously Notre Dame needs to do everything they can to get this guy to come to Notre Dame, because that is, I mean, we can talk about it more when we get into the spring practice stuff, but that's a huge area of need for Notre Dame.
I agree.
And we had talked about it before, as far as, you know, him leaving Clemson. We were discussing about him being a starter or not. And I guess he was told that he might not necessarily be a starter next year, which goes to show, I'll admit, I was wrong on that, Ruben, that there's very good competition at Clemson. So he did start 4 games this last year. I think his stats, he had just under 300 snaps. I think it was like 299, something like that. So he did play a lot. But we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. He'll probably, I mean, it looks like he's going to take his time, make a decision. It's not like he's going to be there for spring practice.
Okay, the NFL Combine this past weekend. Notre Dame had 3 players, quarterback DeShone Kizer, and 2 defensive linemen, Jerron Jones and Isaac Rochelle. So I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about it. It wasn't great for any of them, I don't think.
No. Kizer did very well with the interviews. Which I guess the scouts, everybody was impressed with that, but Kizer has always been good with that part of it. His numbers didn't look so well, but I will tell you, I mean, he was asked about, I think all the guys were asked about what happened at Notre Dame with the 4-8 season. And
they should just have all blamed it on Brian Van Gorder.
And then the other thing that Kizer was asked about, you know, his play and the 2 quarterback system. And he said, I don't think it held me back, but I do think I spent a little too much time thinking about that rather than thinking about developing the guys around me and developing the trust. Once again, the 2015 team, the 2016 team were completely different. We had almost a completely different roster on offense. I think there should have been a little more time spent with me trying to develop that trust and develop the guys around me to make the plays in the fourth quarter drives when needed. At times, I was kind of looking over my shoulder a little bit too much. That's probably my biggest regret this past season. So, I don't know. I mean, he's admitting that, and that's been one of the biggest questions that we've been hearing.
But it's also a thing, you can't quantify it. You don't know how much it affected him.
Well, one of the questions that you hear from NFL scouts and guys that are watching this, you know, that don't have anything to do with Notre Dame is, you know, his leadership skills, that there was, you know, maybe some issue in the locker room. He didn't have the team behind him, and that's maybe why the whole TikTok thing with Alize Jones, and it seems like the players are really getting behind Brandon Wimbush. And so there's questions about him leading the team and him being that locker room guy.
Yeah.
And so this was his way of saying, you know, he could have maybe done some things different. And he probably would, whether he needed to or not. You know, I can see that he was looking over his shoulder, because Brian Kelly did pull him in that one game. It was the Stanford game where they pulled him and put in Zaire for a couple drives. And we thought we might need something, but that's why you don't. At the time, it was terrible, because obviously he's saying it did affect him.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in the past. It is what it is. But I don't know. He's obviously getting questioned out about it.
I do think that one of the reasons that Notre Dame wasn't successful I think chemistry was part of it.
Yeah.
I think, I mean, you play harder when you feel chemistry as a team. And that goes beyond X's and O's too. Some of it goes into effort and trust. But anyway, I know, and that, even that's not everything, but
yeah, his numbers, you know, weren't anything great. His passing, obviously, had some issues with accuracy. They said he looked very uncomfortable throwing the ball, and he was obviously rattled, and so his footwork was kind of messed up. He just didn't have a good day. But the other thing is, they will have a pro day at Notre Dame, so some of this stuff, he can do better when they have a pro day. He can try to redeem himself. And then I guess Rochelle was just the average guy. He was kind of the middle of the pack on everything. As far as the rankings, you know, he was right in the middle. Nothing outstanding, but, you know, where he fits in, the big question is, you know, how he's going to fit into an NFL team. Jerron Jones did terrible. He might have done better not showing up. But he was 30th in the bench press, and his 40 time, he was 49th out of 51. So he wasn't the slowest guy out of 51 linemen. But his vertical, he was dead last. He was number 51 with a 20.5-inch vertical.
That shocks me that was his vertical.
And he was ranked number 51 out of 51. Number 50 was 4 inches higher.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And with some of this, we know how Jerron Jones is. He takes time off, and then he dominates the next play. So, who knows? I'm sure some of this is on him.
Yeah.
But looking at these three guys, and, you know, they're not that impressive with some of these workouts. And then you see guys, everybody's raving about Connecticut's two players that they had at the combine. I mean, they were incredible. They were some of the best. They were putting up some of the best numbers.
And at what position? You said the one was a defensive back.
Yeah. Obi Melifonwu, I think is how you say his name. His numbers, he's 6'4", 224-pound defensive back. He had a 44-inch vertical, 11 feet, 9-inch broad jump, and a 4.4640. Now, his broad jump, I watched a video of that, and they have marks on the field, measurements on the field. And when he jumped, he landed on the last one. So he almost jumped out of their range, what they had set up for. Like, they didn't expect anybody to get that far, and he almost jumped over everything. And today on Twitter, everybody was raving about him and the strength conditioning coach at Connecticut. And the good news is that strength conditioning coach is now at Notre Dame. So it was good. You saw comments from people, like when there was talk about these guys, there was comments like, hey, well, this guy's at Notre Dame now. And, you know, that everybody was proud to announce
Randall,
that.
I think you were probably the most optimistic about having a new strength and conditioning coach come in. And, yeah, I was kind of like, yeah, I mean, yeah, a good change, but not convinced. But you just continue to hear good things. Just every week there just seems like there's more and more positive news that comes out of that.
Well, and Isaac Rochelle had, a couple weeks ago, he had tweeted out a picture of, like, a before and after, basically what he's done in, whatever, 6-7 weeks since he's been out in Arizona doing his workouts. And obviously that's all he's doing is working out, but he was the same weight, but the transformation was insane. He's obviously put on a lot more muscle and more tone than what he was. But then, okay, so that's one guy, you know, that isn't in the system anymore. Doesn't have to go to school, doing all that other stuff.
Yeah, he can just focus on that.
It was whatever. Mm-hmm. But then this past week, Dalen Hayes did the same thing, and it was from, what is it? I forget what he said. Was it the 6 weeks that they've been in the conditioning program?
I think it was 6 weeks.
And there is a remarkable difference. I mean, the same thing you saw with Rochelle. Like,
he's just a little more defined.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing stuff like that, it's like Tony said, you wonder why they didn't make a change, or why they would still had the same staff, just as far as getting these guys in shape.
Yeah.
Then you see what the results were from some of these guys. Yeah, it was Jerron Jones. Who knows what he would have done under Bayless. Yeah. But everything is trending in the right direction with the strength and conditioning,
and
including the players that were...
Keep in mind, like, I do want to throw this in. It's not like we've had awful physical players the past 3 years. I mean, we had Will Fuller, one of the fastest guys ever.
Imagine how fast he would be with under Baylor.
Jalen Smith, an absolute physical freak, which he was a freak coming out of high school too, I know. I'm just saying, it didn't seem like we were concerned about the strength and conditioning from a physical and strength aspect. It was more from a injuries aspect.
I agree.
It's really where the concern was. So Yeah.
But I do think, I mean, my argument has always been that the way they worked out
had something to do with
the reason that they had more injuries.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last year, they backed off on a lot of stuff, and the injuries did go down, but it didn't seem like the guys were in as good a shape.
Well, and now the workouts are mandatory no more. I guess there used to be some more options as far as if you wanted to work out or not.
Here's the thing. You can look a lot better. You can be more toned. You look at Brady Quinn, Tim Tebow. I mean, those guys were like in very good shape, and it just didn't translate to the NFL. So it takes more than that.
It does.
But it's definitely trending in the right direction with the strength and conditioning. And I think what I was hoping would happen is that these guys get excited about stuff, and I think the players are pumped and excited about the differences they're seeing in the workout room, and I think it is going to translate to the playing field.
I think, yeah, the last 3-4 months, really since the end of the season, there's definitely been more excitement around the team. And the strength and conditioning is definitely a big part of that. Okay, anything else from the combine?
I don't think so. Next thing for those guys would be pro day.
And here's just one final thought. Out of those three guys, I do think from a raw talent aspect, and you might completely disagree, but I think from a raw talent aspect, Jerron Jones is the one with the most, like, if you would have told me 2 years ago who has the best chance of making a huge impact in the NFL, I would have said, oh, Jerron Jones. And I still think that's kind of true, but it goes to show how much just of a attitude goes into that too.
Yeah, I think, I hate saying it because you would say Isaac Rochelle was like in the best shape, got the most out of him, but I think his ceiling isn't as high as what you have with Jones. His potential isn't what you have with Jones and Kaiser.
Yeah.
Both those guys are going to have to put in a ton of work to be successful in the NFL. I mean, it goes to show that they need a lot of work to be successful, but I think you kind of know what you're getting with Rochelle.
Yeah, I agree.
But Pro Day is March 23rd. Okay. So we'll let you know what happens with that, because there's quite a few guys that Notre Dame guys that weren't at the combine that will be doing workouts there. So,
alrighty. So spring ball is upon us tomorrow, Tuesday.
Can you believe it?
I can't. I honestly can't. The time is just flying, but I'm glad.
Oh, sorry, I want to throw it before we jump on the one thing with the combine. Alabama players. Alabama just infuriates me every day. The more I find out about their program, the more it infuriates me. But Reuben Foster was sent home before he did any of this stuff for yelling at the doctors. I don't know what report's actually true. The one report I read was basically he was standing in line at the doctor for something, and he tried to play the do you know who I am card to get in front of the line. And ended up, the doctor wouldn't let him jump the line. I had to tell him, told him he had to stay in line. They ended up yelling and whatever, and it led to him being sent home.
I hope that story is true.
You're terrible. And then one of the other linebackers admitted to failing multiple drug tests while at Alabama. And these are guys that are first round picks, and they'll probably still get picked. Just Alabama. But if that stuff would happen at Notre Dame,
oh my,
it would be the front. It'd be the ESPN news story of the week.
We'd have to
suspend them, give up a couple wins.
Well, thankfully, it would just be four this season.
Exactly. That's the good news. You only get four wins this season. But it just stuff that has happened. There's other stuff that's come out with the Alabama, just the oversigning, just different things. They treat some of those players like crap. They get away with stuff, and they still play.
Yeah.
And you know what? They get slapped in the wrist, but guess what? They're still playing the national championship every year. They don't get in any kind of... Look at the cars that we mentioned, the cars they drive in a couple weeks ago. But
yeah.
Anyways, that's my rant. Okay. Back to spring ball.
All right, spring ball is here. Tomorrow, Tuesday, March 7th, Brian Kelly will have a press conference, and I am looking forward to that a lot. Wednesday, the 8th, the media will be allowed for the first 30 minutes of that of practice, and then they'll also have Kelly and player interviews following. And then Friday will be the last practice of the week, and then they head into spring break. So then they won't be back again until Wednesday, March 22nd, and media will again have some access there. And then the next, so just pretty much normal spring practice after that. And throughout that, there will be some assistant coach interviews following the practice, and the media will have a couple, quite a few times when they're able to watch practice as well. And then it will come to an end on Saturday, April 22nd, for the blue and gold game at 12:30.
Well, it's not one thing I noticed that they will be off during spring break. Originally, when they had talked about going to IMG, that would have been during spring break, and so the guys wouldn't have been able to go home. So it's kind of varies on opinion. Do you let the guys go home and get in trouble that week? Or do you make them stay at school and have them irritated that they didn't get a week off? So they are getting a week off, so I guess we'll find out.
Definitely, I don't know how many people watch it. I don't think a whole lot of people do, but there are on YouTube. Actually, even on the app, too. I'm pretty sure it's on the WatchND app. But there's, they call it the Jack Swarbrick Show, and it's with Jack Swarbrick. And usually, last year it was James Onuwalu and I forget who the other player was. But they have interviews with some of the assistant coaches have been on, and they talk to him. But Tommy Rees was on today's show, episode 25, and it's about 15 minutes long. And it's there's another student athlete also in the interview, and it's not all football related stuff, but there's clips of it that was just with Tommy Rees, and it was pretty interesting, just talking about a little bit about how he went from Northwestern to San Diego and then back here to Notre Dame. And I would encourage you guys to check it out if you want to.
And while we're talking about coaches, Notre Dame did add another defensive analyst, Tyler Santucci. That's how we'll say it. I'm serious, all these names lately, we could have an entire podcast on the pronunciation of players and coaches. And but anyways, he coached at Texas State, was an outside linebacker coach, and he was a defensive line coach at Stony Brook for 4 years. And between those two jobs, he was at Wake Forest with Elko. And he was a grad assistant there and helped coach the Rover position. So that is, I think it's good hire because he knows Elko's system and he's helping coach a position that is new at Notre Dame. And so I guess we'll see.
It is a new position, but Clark Lee would have coached it too.
Well, I'm saying for the player. Helping. Oh, yeah. I'm just saying the players learning a new position. Hopefully it won't go. That was one issue we always had with BBG, was learning all this new stuff. So the more help he can get with some of this stuff, the better. And I'm all for adding analysts and more guys. We've talked about this before.
But I wouldn't take the now hiring sign off that analyst door. I would leave it on. Okay, let's go through the different positions, Randall. And we're not going to go in depth, but maybe just one quick thought or question we have at each position group. Starting with the quarterbacks. We've got two scholarship quarterbacks, Brandon Wimbush, obviously, the primary guy, and then Ian Book, and then Montgomery Van Gorder as well, but he's not on scholarship. So my question, we're not going to go in-depth here. We'll go more in-depth after the press conference and after we have some more information. My question is this. Is there really going to be no quarterback competition this spring?
They'll create one somehow.
Well, it's funny because Tommy Rees mentioned how when he was talking about the quarterback room, he did say he thinks that to get the best out of the players is to create an environment of competition, because he thinks that's the best way to prepare them for Saturday, because it's just so different. But if he can just create a very competitive environment in practice, he thinks he can help get the best out of the players.
Yeah.
So we might hear that word, but I don't think there will actually be a competition.
I don't think that's necessarily saying there's a competition.
Yeah.
But with two quarterbacks, it makes it a lot easier splitting up reps. You don't have to try to get reps to the next guy, Brandon Wimbush, while Zaire and Kaiser are out there dueling it out. And you can see pretty quickly, I mean, I would still be competition there because it's a lot easier to compare the two. I think in that fact, you know, in that scenario, you know, it would be competition. But Brandon Wimbush is obviously the top quarterback, but they need to have Ian Book ready to go. And this is so much better. I mean, that's, I've hated that every year, but we're finally back to where
knowing who the quarterback's
a couple years ago when Zaire was the QB1 going into the season, but he ended up only playing two games. This year, I think we're in much worse shape if that would happen again, but it just helps the entire program when you know who the quarterback's going to be. I mean, look at what Kaiser was saying, and so it'll be exciting. I want to see how this plays out, because I'm hoping there's still that fire. I think there will be. Brandon Wimbush wants to prove, you know, that he's the guy after sitting at, this is his third year. You know, he wants to show everybody that he is the number one quarterback. And obviously Ian Book will continue to try to get that spot. But we'll see. We'll have to see how they handle all this.
All right. And then at running back, we've got returning starter Josh Adams, Dexter Williams, who at one point last season was the only player that showed some energy or something. I forget what Brian Kelly's words were exactly. And then Tony Jones Jr., who, a bigger back, we thought he might play last year. He didn't. He is a redshirt freshman. Those three guys are almost certainly the three primary ball carriers that we do have.
Did you mention Josh Adams?
Yeah, I mentioned him first. Yeah. Okay. So, question that I've got, can Josh Adams just stay healthy throughout spring and the fall camp as we head into the season? Because that was not the case last year.
I just want to see how good these other guys are. Tony Jones Jr., I mean, we've heard rumors of how great he is, but we've never seen it in games. I mean, I guess he's a good practice player. He's a big guy. So I want to see if there's a little bit of competition to compete for that number one spot, if they're going to put pressure on Josh Adams.
All right, and then at wide receiver,
you do also have C.J. Holmes coming in as a true freshman. He is here for the spring, so
that is
we'll
correct.
See. We'll see what he, if he can challenge for playing time this next year.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah, Josh Adams and Dexter Williams can kind of lead by example more than getting wore out. And
we don't have to watch for Justin Brent anymore. See where he's
actually gonna play. One of the biggest disappointments.
He was supposed to do good last spring. So, and Deion McIntosh is basically moved to wide receiver. So,
okay,
I don't think he's even mentioned with running backs right now.
So at wide receiver, we've got returning Kevin Stevenson, EQ. I guess my question is, will we continue to see Chris Fink as the star of practice as he was in the fall last year? And he had some catches. He especially, I believe it was USC when he reeled in a couple of balls. I couldn't think of a better question.
Well, I want to see how this shakes out. They have a new wide receiver coach. His lone job is coaching wide receivers. And so it's kind of like a new slate. Some of these guys, you know, that didn't play as much, see where they fit in. Will even be different with C.J. Sanders. I always wonder why he didn't play more last year. It seemed like he was in the game plan at the beginning of games, and then he disappeared when it came down to actually calling plays. It seemed like,
okay,
there's different things.
And here's another question. What do we have in Chase Claypool? Beautiful athlete.
A wide receiver. He's not going to switch
anytime. No, well, not in that. I'm just saying, how do we get him on the field? And is he really... Yeah, he's a great athlete, and they definitely want to use him in special teams. But as a wide receiver, where is he going to fit in to catch balls?
And I think it's good that we have a new wide receiver coach, because some of these guys will... Basically, you know, I'm sure Alexander came in and looked at all the different guys and wasn't like, hey, you're the you were the starter last year, this is what you get. But you got guys like Javon McKinley, Kevin Stepherson. I forget what our predictions were before the season, but you projected more out of him.
I expect more of him than McKinley.
Yeah, but I'm saying there was a lot of hype going into the season, but then we didn't see as much as expected during the season.
Oh, really? No.
But I did. I thought that, but I remember your – I forget. We have to go back and look at those numbers.
Oh, we have to go back and look, but I thought he performed very well in the season.
Yeah, I'm.
You
okay,
you thought
we'll
I,
just stop until we okay. go back and look at the numbers.
Well, I don't think we'll ever. I don't think we'll ever go back and look. It's a problem.
I know he exceeded my expectation. I didn't expect as much out of him as what.
Oh
people
yeah, okay.
Thought.
And I would say he even exceeded my expectations. Okay. I didn't even expect that much.
Okay.
I don't think.
But.
Okay, then tight ends. My question for this is Durham Smythe who? Because we've obviously got the return of Alize Jones, and incoming. True freshman Brock Wright is also on campus this spring.
Well, you got Tyler Luatua, Nick Wisher. I still don't think that the true freshmen are going to play much.
I think they're going to have more of an impact than you think, Randall. But Alize
Brock
Jones,
Wright does have a head start because he's here for the spring.
Alize Jones is going to steal the show.
Well, I'm saying you got Wisher and Smythe. You're not going to need these. Freshman tight ends. I mean, they do play more tight ends, but we'll have to wait and see if that actually
happens.
As long
as Smythe is able to catch the ball, and as long as Nick Wisher is able to block effectively, as long as they're able to do their jobs, both as a ball catcher and a blocker.
Well,
yes.
Blocking, true, but you're asking a lot from a true freshman coming in to block.
I know, and I guess if you'd really nail me down, I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't expect him to play more than Durham Smythe.
Here's one thing I look at, which. We do have a tight end coach, a guy that
the offensive coordinator is a former tight end coach.
Chip Long, you know, coached a lot of tight ends. But remember Alize Jones? When it came down his freshman season.
Yes, but they targeted him, Randall. They threw the ball early and often at him. They just never connected.
I know, but he was a true freshman, is what I'm saying. That to me, that should maybe like.
But now we've got Tommy.
Your expectations of a true freshman.
Tommy Reese magic in the backfield. I just think that good things are bound to happen.
I hope you're right. I do.
I do remember. I did make this prediction earlier this year that I do think that I think I said Brock Wright would have more touchdown catches than either Durham Smythe or Nick Wisher. I think that's what I said.
You might want to change that.
I should go back and listen. Maybe I thought that's what I said, but now I kind of forget now. Okay, offensive line.
Big question there is the right side of the line again, just like it was last year.
And where for me the question is where will Kramer start?
So you're confident he's going to start?
Yes.
What about Eichenberg?
He'd make a great backup.
Well, basically, we know what you got on the right. I mean, on the left, same as last year. You got McGlinchey and
Nelson.
Nelson, Mustafa at center, so you got those guys. Then you got Bars. There's questions, you know, where, if will he move to guard, will he stay at tackle? I think it all depends what Eichenberg and Kramer. I think one of those two is going to start.
Yeah.
There was talk about them starting last year, challenging for starting time last year as true freshmen, but we'll see how that plays out. So, once again, that right side is in question. I think Alex Barr is going to start at one of the positions, but it's not. I'm not sure which one.
All right, and then on defense, start with the line again. Defensive line.
Oh, we got that. That's all taken care of. We've won top defensive lines in the country. Oh wait, we don't know if Scott Pagano is going to be there.
I guess
we're losing a defensive end.
What is Daniel Cage's status right now? Is he full go for the spring? Is he planning on
it? I don't know. Hope we'll find that out in tomorrow's press conference. Because that could be huge.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what they told Pagano, because that would probably make a difference on how much play. I mean, who he competes against.
Yeah.
But there's so many questions on the defensive line.
I almost don't even know where to begin. I've got questions at every player at every position, pretty much. linebackers, I guess the Buck, which would have been the Will last year.
That could be. Obviously, Niles Morgan is.
Yeah, Niles Morgan's the Mike.
The Buck could be basically one of all the other guys.
Yeah, but probably, I mean, probably Coney. But then there's a bunch of young linebackers. Where are all of that? Who's going to be? I think you could probably pick. Okay, probably Tavon Coney, Niles Morgan, then the Rover. Very likely, maybe linebacker from Indy.
From Indy?
Yeah, Bilal. Wasn't he from Indy?
No, that's one name that could be. I think it's going to come from. I think it's going to be like Drew Tranquil or a safety. I don't really see. I think out of the linebacker group, if there's one guy that would do it, Bilal has been the name that's been mentioned. I mean, he could, but I don't think it's going to be. But you've got quite a few guys.
Drew Tranquil was probably the first one, but Bilal, just from watching some of his high school film, I mean, he moves so smooth and quick. I don't know.
Yeah. But I don't know enough about the Rover position to see what. But that's going to be a huge. Definitely the linebackers, how they use them. Because then you got guys like Julian Okorah, Jameer Jones. And Okorah could be defensive end. What do they do with Jones? There's
a lot of question marks there.
Yeah.
Hey,
and a lot of it is because of this new system, how they're going to use him.
We know that Brian Van Gorder had the players that he loved. Probably most notably was Joe Schmidt, but then also Greer Martini and also James Onuwalu. He loved those guys. I'm curious who are the guys that the coaching staff, and I think there's probably going to be one or two on defense that, man, they just really love this player, and even though fans might not see it, they'll find a place for these guys to play. I guess I started off this question. I was going to ask, is Greer Martini going to continue to be the favorite, the teacher's favorite is where I was originally going to go with that question, and it kind of evolved into a whole bunch of nonsense. But Greer Martini. No,
I think that was even more than the coach's life. I think that was a lot the media trying to get him out on the field. Greer Martini, he's one of those guys that's smart.
But I don't think he will definitely play, and he'll be a backup somewhere.
Yeah.
But there's so many other young guys that just haven't played a whole lot yet.
All of a sudden, it seemed like Rajas. We didn't have that many linebackers. Now, all of a sudden, once you kind of treat the Rover as a different position, you're looking at maybe like two true linebacker positions. All of a sudden, you have quite a few guys that could play that position, which is good because somebody needs to step up their game, and hopefully this will fuel them.
Agreed.
But with defensive line and linebacker, a lot of those questions, I think, are going to get answered even tomorrow with press conference. I think with knowing what position these guys are going to play, you know, what their size and weight are, you know, where they fit in. This staff has been great at fitting in, at finding spots for guys and what they can do good, not necessarily forcing them into a certain role. So that's definitely one of the biggest questions going into spring is defensive line and linebacker, basically the whole defense.
Yeah. Okay, and then at cornerback, my question is, who is the best cornerback out of the group and this spring? Because we've got not Nick Watkins.
Coleman.
Well, no, I was thinking of the Sean Achilles. Crawford. Sean Crawford, yeah. I mean, some of these guys are going to be a factor in the fall, but aren't really going to have a full shot here this spring. But so Julian Love, Troy Pride Jr., Dante Vaughn. If you'd have to, out of those three, Dante Vaughn is great because he's got great size and is a playmaker. But Julian Love was also just would find the ball and was terrific.
Then you got Watkins coming back, Coleman. I honestly, right now, as far as the excitement and potential. In the fall, I would love to see Julian Love and Sean Crawford out there, just the way they play and are always around the ball making plays. But
especially if Sean Crawford is the same player that he was.
I personally think he will be, because the reason he was such a great player, he's a small guy, was because of his heart and determination, basically.
And it, well, and a lot of studying went into that too, remember?
Yeah.
In the summer of as a freshman, I mean, he was looking at the playbook and was trying to learn the defense.
And as determined as he was, he came back from another injury last year. I mean, obviously that could continue to play with the injury issues, but I have faith that he's going to be just as good as he was before the injury.
I hope so. All right, and then at safety, question here. Will Drew Tranquil be a safety after spring?
You get into the problem is,
as far as will he be a full-time Rover by that point?
I think if you ask me, I'd say yes, he will be the Rover.
I think so too, because I don't think he's a great safety.
But the problem is safety depth. That's where but this is how I look at it. You got to put, Brian Kelly has mentioned, you got to put the 11 best guys out there on the field. So I think you have to play, if Drew Tranquil is the best Rover and you got two other safeties, Studstill and Elliott, if those are the two best safeties, you don't worry about backup at that point. I say play Tranquil at the Rover. If something does happen, you can reshuffle it. You
figure it out then.
But you can't. I know the depth is terrible. You want that depth. But if you just play, we got to keep this guy here because of depth, you're not going to get anywhere. You got to have the 11 best guys on the field at that time. And
I agree.
The backup issue is secondary.
Yeah, I agree with you. That is a good point.
Because if you worry about that backup, you want to keep him there so that you have backup, well, then you might lose a game. But let's say if everything works out, great. You had a great year. And I guess if there is some kind of injury, something would happen, obviously you're going to have to make changes.
All right. I think that's all we got, Randall. We'll know a lot more after tomorrow's press conference, and we'll be back on Monday to continue talking about Notre Dame football. Definitely go over, check out Facebook or Twitter, and click on that link to join our bracket challenge.
And if you don't keep up with basketball, the ACC tournament is starting. Notre Dame is ranked number 3 in the ACC, and they got a 2-game bye, and so they don't play until Thursday night at, I think it's 9 o'clock.
I know it's late, but I was thinking it was Wednesday.
No.
It's Thursday. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is.
I know because it's my wife's birthday, and I've already been trying to decide if I'm going to be able to watch the game.
I'll text you updates.
But they will play either the winner. Virginia is the one team, and then it's either Georgia Tech, or it's most likely going to be Georgia Tech, the winner of Georgia Tech, Virginia. But you never know with the tournament. And then the selection is next Sunday. They're looking pretty good now. The only thing with the Virginia, Notre Dame has not beaten Virginia yet, and so I don't know if Virginia would win, end up being their opponent. Will this be the one time that they can beat Virginia? I would rather they lose them during the season and then get the win, you know, during the play. But they just, for some reason, they just cannot play good against Virginia. So
we'll
see what happens with that.
There you have it, guys. Thank you for listening, and give us a follow on on Twitter at Irish Sports Talk, and on Instagram as well, I guess, at Irish Sports Talk. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.